Hit your goal for 25 years in the future. Literally anything's attainable. There's going to be a 24-year-old who's a billionaire. They're not even born yet. And so you realize in this zone, you're like, my goodness, what goal isn't achievable? And it's almost like there's none. Welcome to Marketing with Matt. If you're an entrepreneur or business owner looking to create more margin in your life and business, you're in the right place. For more after the show, be sure to check out profitmoreworkless.com. You know, marketing without some sort of performance goal or metric can feel frustrating. You ever feel like that, Tyler? Like you're working at stuff, but you didn't actually know what you're shooting for. And so then it's like, did I do well? Did I miss it? Like, and then it's really hard to diagnose what's going wrong. I want to talk about a new kind of understanding that I have around goal setting. And I think we've talked before about like, the atomic habits, like focus on the behaviors, which is all still really good and critical. But I actually think it's around the dream bigger. And I think inside of the, for our marketing, it's, I think a lot of folks just dream too small. And so this is an exercise. I think sometimes it's been called like a North Star or Polaris Star or something like that. Maybe
okay.
It wasn't introduced to me with the name, but I'll give you the context. So, it's around goal setting, and the prompt is, imagine what, like, set your goals, but set your goals for what you want to see as a reality in 25 years. And for me, when we're setting like short-term goals, it's very difficult. Things feel like they rapidly change. You don't know, is this too big? Is this too small? You kind of like don't feel like you have a lot of context there. 25 years is a long time. Like you could... I think is it just like you just put the money in the market in like the stock market and it would double twice in that point. So you'd be like, well, I think my savings would at least just double just by the nature. Yeah, plus inflation. Like there's all these things going on. So you set your goal for 25 years in the future. And it's almost a time period where you're like literally anything's attainable. Like there are, there's going to be a 24-year-old who's a, you know, billionaire. Probably at that point, they're not even born yet. So they're going to come into existence and then accomplish $1 billion net worth in the next year. They're literally starting from zero. They're like not even there. And so you realize in this zone, you're like, my goodness, what goal isn't achievable? And it's almost like there's none. There's no, there at that time period, there's almost no goal that is not achievable. And so then it comes down to really understanding like, what do I want? What do I imagine my future there? And so that's one side of it where I had never written out or thought of a goal 25 years in the future. I guess, to be fair, I did it in one place. And I realized that's what I'd done. So you've heard me say this, Tyler, is my wife and I, our goal is we want to raise kind and confident human beings who want to spend time with us when they no longer have to. I should say adults. That's really the key.
Yeah.
We want to raise kind and confident adults who want to spend time with us when they no longer have to. Maybe that's part of the no longer have to. It's when they get into adulthood. And so for us, that's at least, you know, whatever, 18, 20 years in the future. That is a 25-year goal, which I say pretty frequently. And you're like, oh, I realized that. I had that clarity of like 25 years from now, I want my kids to be kind and confident. I want them to want to spend time with me. That would feel like a huge win. And I think that's directed so much of the day-to-day, just having that understanding. Here's the other piece of it. So that's part one is dream big. I think more folks need to dream big. I've read, you know, books like 10X is easier than 2X and all these things are like, they start to, you know, kind of stir it in that zone where you see these people accomplish incredible things in kind of short time frame. So it's not about that. But I think when you put it in a long time frame, you have a little bit more permission. It feels a little bit more accessible because you're like, time's on my side. And I hope I'll have a 10-year-old who is somewhat kind and somewhat confident, who kind of likes to spend time with me. I hope I'll even have a teenager who's right. Somewhat kind and somewhat confident, who in, you know, in their best moments wants to spend time with me.
Yeah.
And so having that big vision probably brings it closer in the journey. The second thing is I think well illustrated with the story of imagine, yeah, I don't know, you just got some incredible deal. Let's say it's a brand sponsorship. You got a brand sponsorship. Someone's like, you know what? Just to wear my stuff right now Actually, I'm not wearing their shirt right now, but I'll say shorts. Almost literally my wardrobe. You never see it because it's you know, below the waist here. I wear Vuori 24/7, almost 24/7. I developed this is TMI. I have an allergy to elastic now, so it's not 24/7. But prior to this allergy, literally 24/7, I would wear Vuori core shorts. And if Vuori was like, Matt, here's $10 million. All that we ask is that you wear our shorts. I'd be like, yeah, yes, and thank you. And I go to the bank and I deposit this $10 million. And the bank's like, hey, this is great. Let's say it's a cashier's check, whatever it is. Maybe not cashier's check, whatever. It's not quite a wire transfer. It's a check. And they're like, this is great. This is awesome. We got to process this. It's, you know, a very large amount. We don't get these every day. So here's the receipt, but you'll see it in your account in about 10 days. For the next 10 days, you look in your account, nothing looks different. Try to show someone else your account, nothing looks different. But you know, you're like, I have $10 million. Now, how do you live in that kind of confidence over a future reality? It's just like, it's not yet. It's done. It's deposited. It is here. It is not. It's not showing up yet. And it's a challenge, obviously. It's a lot of mental gymnastics, I'll call it, that you got to do to figure out how do I live in that way where I really do believe it's just not showing up yet, but it's a done deal. It's sealed. It's a reality. And when you do that, you start acting like the person who is like that is real. Start acting like the person that is real. Now, I mean, the metaphor can fall apart at some point. You're like, I go and I spend a bunch of stuff and buy a bunch of stuff that you can't afford. But think about that. For the big goals in our life, finding out like what actions we need to take, most of the time it's like we're not the person or the business that is ready to receive that, whatever that is. And the more we live into it and be the person who already has it, I think the faster it comes. And this was a little bit of a paradigm shift and definitely in the marketing. So like we started to say, this is a done deal. Now it's like, how do we live? Like this is done. It just hasn't hit the bank yet, but this is absolutely done. And let's live into that reality. And so I think, you know, for anybody listening, hopefully this is helpful in terms of like a goal setting. I think we all need to dream bigger. I think life circumstances causes us to lose our imagination a little bit. When you get all the time, it's like you get beaten down, whatever it is. It's like in the business, like set the goal and I don't hit it. And so you might be saying like, Matt, that feels like insanity. Why should I do that? And, I think the key shift is as big as you want to dream. I think 25 years, totally possible. Like I said, I really do firmly believe there's going to be a 24-year-old 25 years from now who has $1 billion net worth. Going to be another Gymshark or something like that kind of kid there. And you'll be like, they didn't even exist when we were setting these goals. So, you know, permission with that time frame to dream super big. And then when you start living into it, I think you'll pull that future into reality. Like you'll start doing the things that need to be true if that was a reality. So I think we've really seen like with our marketing is the activities we take. Thinking this is already true, it becomes less mysterious. It becomes less like a choreographed dance that you're like, you're trying to like learn the dance moves. Instead, you're just like, no, I am this way.
Yeah. So I love the idea of the confidence of your future reality and acting as if, right? And I agree with you. It doesn't mean you go spend the money as if you already had it. It means you act like the person you're going to be when you achieve those things or the best, or you treat your business the way it's going to be once it's achieved that goal. What is there an example of a time you've done that where you've said, okay, here's a goal I'm setting. I'm going to start acting as if that.
Well, so for me recently, I think I've shared it on the show. If not, it's been a fitness related goal here. And I don't know if any of the background noise came in there. Is this anything?
I did hear a small child.
Okay. Yeah. So for everybody, it's real life.
That's good. I love that because that just shows that you're human.
Yeah. It's real talk over here. On the fitness goal. And so I had to pick 25. I didn't go 25 years. I've never in my life had abs. And I think for a lot of folks, it's like it's that one thing. It usually means you got a really low body fat percentage to actually show abs. And, I just committed, this is a reality. And so at the time of this recording, I'd say I'm about halfway there, but I've done this cycle of about a 20 pound loss a couple times, but I'm now pushing past what is previously like the zones that I've ever been in. And so, you know, one thing was, as I zoomed out, at least for that, I give it a 10 year. I was like, this is happening. I start measuring success in weeks. So I didn't do a perfect math on there. It would be 520 weeks, but I just said 500 weeks. And so I'm like 12 out of 500. And so I started just measuring and checking it off in a much longer time horizon. It's not to say that I'm not going to achieve it until, like, it's not going to take me 500 right. weeks to achieve it. I think it'll probably take me 24 and I'll probably be in like single digits in terms of like body fat percentage, which is usually where it's like, you're going to show abs.
So how did you start when you made that decision? How did you start acting as if you already had abs basically?
Well, yeah. So with that, I was like, well, what do people with abs do? I literally went out. I was like, found out an ass. What do they do? Oh, turns out if they're doing it, they're just eating in a slight caloric deficit. So it's like, understand where what's that number for me? Understand, like, they know what, like, they know their inputs. I found definitively it's mostly inputs. There's a slight side of it's still a consideration of your input. So it's like, you can lose weight and you just lose a ton of muscle. You're still at some point going to have abs, but hypothetically, if you had zero muscle, it wouldn't really look like abs. It just looked like a really, really famished, underfed person. But that was it. So it's like, you start saying, well, what would that person do? So I asked the question, what does that person do? And then I started just doing those activities. And it's so funny to me too. Like, I already see, like, I'm 12 weeks in. And so, definitely looking different, but very little ab work. Like, it's all kitchen.
Oh yeah.
It's all kitchen work.
I think that lesson of like abs are made in the kitchen can apply into your business, into your other goals. It's like, oftentimes you don't get the goal by just repeatedly beating the one thing with the hammer. It's doing what you said of changing your lifestyle to be the kind of lifestyle that would achieve that goal.
Well, and so I'll give you another example. So that's fitness. I'll go fitness and then I'll go life and then I'll give you a business. And so on the life side of it, this is, we've decided to outsource like house stuff, not kid stuff. So literally, you know, and I've been a super fan and advocated for high school students in terms of household chores. They love it. No, but it's like, it's such a great mix. And so the same, if anybody's heard the story before where we have it's typically like these high schoolers, typically it's only been gals. So high school gals that are willing to come to the house once a night, do the dishes, clean up the toys, and it's game changing. And then we were like, we have a ton of laundry. That's not enough time. Let's hire them for a few hours during the day. And so they came, my wife and I are playing with the kids at like 2 to 4 PM. They're folding all the laundry. We're playing with the kids. And so we just as well could have said, hey, watch the kids, right? Like, hey, just come. And so we honestly, we don't have a nanny. We don't even have a regular babysitter. To be fair, we have family that gives us like that kind of reprieve there. But like, we're not like, oh, on Tuesdays. And that would kind of serve a similar need to like give space and energy in that zone. But we've chosen to prioritize being with the kids. Why? Because we want kind and confident humans who want to spend time with us. And it's like, if they want to spend time with us when they no longer have to, we probably need to spend time with them, like, even while they were just here at home. And so there's one practical example where it's like, hey, we believe this is going to be reality. And so we choose different things there. And
I like that.
And here's a business one. I'm literally just, this is a small track, but you watch and I'm like, part of the fitness side of it is I've realized I'm really good at delegating, and there's certain things that like you can't delegate. You just got to do it, right? It's like I maintain dental hygiene. I brush my teeth every night and every morning, and I floss. And who does that? I do that. I just have to do it. And so I think there are healthy habits, and those are things where like you go at some level, you realize like they're actually doing it. And so on the business side, I've not seen the results of it, but I'm like, you know, the folks that have the biggest personal brand, social media, they post their own stories. I don't think they post their own like curated page stuff. I don't think they're scheduling that. Clearly it's edited, but like they let people into the day to day. So that's what I'm doing is like,
I've noticed it.
Yeah.
And it feels more personal.
It feels like it brings a voice there. So that was something where I just had to like come to terms with like, it's the same kind of thing. It's like, I can't really delegate my own personal health. And I think if you really want to have a personal brand, so if part of your marketing, you want people to know you, for me, I'm deciding, I was like, what are all the folks that have really great brands that I like to, consume? The funny thing is I don't mostly consume their stories, but this is the kitchen and abs thing. Is your abs are made in the kitchen. You don't work on your abs. So it's like, oh, all these people have the most views and engagement on their reels, post their own stories. I don't think they're posting their own reels. And so my hypothesis, we'll see, is because they connect as a person, they do the things that they need to do to bring people behind the scenes. People then care about whatever the curated content is. Because I think, hopefully you guys enjoy this podcast, but I think I've we've done a pretty good job of really holding nothing back and sharing the most impactful, valuable things that have been affecting me. I think where I've not been showing up, that's like the person does like, I do my 100 crunches every day, but then you're like, but I eat junk food. And so for me, that was like, I think this is a kitchen activity where it's like, I need to show up. It's just got to be me. And it's going to be embarrassing and raw. And you saw one, I didn't realize I posted one yesterday. And, my first draft of it, I put in the captions like, this felt so cringy. And then I thought it didn't post. And I was like, let me edit this. And I'm just going to like not say it was cringy. So I had two of the same thing back to back, slightly edited. One saying, this is really cringy for me to record, just letting people into that. And the second was like, and here's a version of it where I was like owning it and getting over myself. But I was like, that's perfect. Like I gave you the full spectrum of insight into even my process of letting people behind the scenes of my life. And so there's another life one and business one. And I actually think if you've grown any sort of personal brand, I'm gonna encourage you to let people behind the scenes. Like I said, this is me like early on. It's like me just, you know, a small trend. I didn't feel on the fitness side of it. It's a small trend, but seeing the impacts that it makes.
We'll check back in 25 years.
Please do. Thanks for tuning in for this week's Marketing with Matt. Check out ProfitMoreWorkLess.com to learn how we create high-margin marketing. Also, if you know someone who'd enjoy the podcast, feel free to make a recommendation. I'm sure they'll thank you for it. Okay, bye for now.